4 p.m., and we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. So to the flag, which is on Mike's screen, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, man, that was rough. The delay in the audio.
I was like, what?
Yeah. All right. Well,
we did it.
And we have all directors attending. So Harry's already spoken about an item not on the agenda, but it really wasn't meant to be anything but just an advisory to us with regards to wind and power outage. But since we do have Harry and Christy Jenkins with us, if either of you would like to have a time for public comment for items not on the agenda, this would be the time. Okay, hearing no comments. No, Christy shook her head, and I read her lips. Yeah. She had a comment. All right, so the first item is the approval of the minutes from December 17th.
Hi, Iggy. I have two corrections I'd like to make to the minutes.
Okay.
The first is in the packet on what is labeled page 6. I guess it's under D, reports. And when it got to the very end on strategic planning, the committee did not meet. Director Montalvo states that she is going to track the strategic objectives. I was recommending that the board review progress of the strategic plan objective. I am not personally tracking that.
Okay.
And then my other correction is somewhat similar. Maybe I was just sensitive today. On page 7 in the report of the primary care packet project, on the second and third lines, it says that she would like to release the RFP in January. And I think it's the board is trying, or the organization would like to do that. You see what I mean?
All right, we'll say so the board could
consider or
could release the RFP in January. Okay.
Thank you.
So you got those, Simone?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All right.
And with those two changes, I move to accept.
Second.
Okay. Simone, will you take a vote?
Yes. Iggy Fedorov?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Melior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lomelli?
Yes, but I have some questions, but I'll wait.
You have some questions about the minutes?
No, I have some questions about the RFP, but I'll wait till that we discuss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, please do. Okay,
thank you.
Moving on to the operations report, Tim Bennis. Is there anything that you'd like to highlight?
I know that the board always is inquisitive. So far this month, we've had 76 incidents and 34 transports.
We're doing better than last month.
Yes.
Okay.
The heater core for the unit 18 was replaced, but there was a issue with the work that was done. So the unit is back in the shop getting that issue fixed, and I don't have an update on that. Unit 16 is in service in place of unit 18. Monterey County, EMSA finally got all of our Monterey County calls back to us, and Simone has been able to process those, which I'm sure Mike will probably go over in his report. And we have we've added some fuel cards to our fleet. We found out that our fuel cards that were in the units had actually been, the accounts had been closed. Somehow an email was sent and lost and never made it to the people that it needed to make it to. So we were able to get on the WEX program. So we have three different fuel cards. They're all, it's a fuel maintenance program. So our units are, our crews are able to get fuel at any gas station in the state of, anywhere in the continental United States. And we get it at a discounted rate. We're also able to track like where it was used, how much was used. I get a notification anytime the card is used. So we'll know if somebody's using it or not.
Okay, cool.
Any questions? Comments?
Thank you.
I had a question. I'm sorry, was someone else speaking?
Go ahead, Cecilia.
Tim, I was reading in your section on employees that you say 40% of our field staff, and I'm just picking up the language of what you're saying, they only 40% has chosen. I'm assuming that the other 60 were offered and refused?
Correct.
And what are the reasons that our employees don't want to get the vaccine?
Everybody has their own beliefs. Basically, the biggest hurdle is that it's a new vaccine, and they're worried about long-term effects that it's going to have on their health. Some also believe that the vaccine was rushed into service and that there's alternative motives for why it was put in service as fast as it was.
That's not unusual, if I can comment on that. As a healthcare provider, all my staff have not agreed to start their vaccine, and a lot of my patients have not agreed to start their vaccine. They want to kind of see what I'm in, what would happen to me from using the vaccine. I did receive a Pfizer vaccine on January 5th, and I didn't feel too well the first day, and the second day I felt better. But some of my patients, as well as my staff, want to see how I respond to it first before they decide to even take it. And I give them an update by Mayo Clinic at least once a week. But the issues about COVID and why we're recommending that they get it, but everyone has their personal choice of if they want to do it or not. So I have to comment the same thing with Tim. Not all staff wants to do it.
I did I participated in a national survey of EMS providers in our industry, and 40% is about typical for all of the EMS providers across the country that are willing to get it at this point. So about 60% are not. So that's about average.
And I also participated in a study with healthcare providers just actually today, and that study report came back, and they're saying that many healthcare providers are still on the fence of taking the COVID vaccine, and we're about 60% that will and 40% that will not.
Okay.
If it's any consolation, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say I've had both my shots already, and the worst thing that happened to me is after my first one, I cleaned out all my suites in my
house. Was that your excuse?
I like it.
That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. I'll take it to my grave.
So
I felt a little achy. I had a headache.
Hang on. We have two people talking at once.
I'm sorry.
This is Lori.
Lori, go ahead.
From a personal standpoint, my son, who is a fire captain in San Diego County, was scheduled to get his vaccine but was COVID positive the day before, went through a terrible course of COVID over 14 days. So his message to me was that I'll get that vaccine as soon as you can because having COVID's much worse.
Cece?
What I was going to say is that I initially, the first day, I had quite a soreness on my arm, and then I had a headache. And then the second day, very little headache. I just took ibuprofen and it went away. But I'm seeing just what Lori said. I have a lot of people that have been very, very ill. And so my staff knows that, but we also want to make sure that we respect what people want to do. So I think with time, they will come around to go ahead and do the vaccine. Most of my physicians that I know, they've all done the vaccine.
And Dave Griffith, whom some of you know, he got COVID and try as he might not to transmit it to the rest of his family, the rest of his family got it as well. And he said it's horrible. And even now, more than a month after he contracted it, he still has what he calls fuzzy-headedness sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions for Tim? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the administrator's report and financial review by Mike.
Okay, let me flip some pages here. Get to the right page. All right, and you've had a chance to, I won't read this word for word, of course, as usual. Speaking of COVID, is the first portion of my report. Status quo, we're doing really well as far as the health of our staff. We haven't had any outbreaks in our staff, which is excellent. I'm very happy at that. We don't have any testing sites scheduled for here. I know that the hot topic, especially as of last Friday, is the vaccine. And my email and phone blew up Friday with questions from the community about the vaccine, because the county had released a report that there would be 75 years of age and older vaccines available this Monday of this week. So we kind of jumped into that and got the word out. And my understanding is that that later that same day that all the appointments were taken. So, but they are building a list. So as more vaccines become available to the county health department, they will be setting up more appointments for the folks that are trying to get in. There's two locations, one north, there's three now. Oh, Tim says there's three locations. I've been funneling everybody into the county website, because that's where the current information really is that county vaccination website. As far as having vaccinations here through the CCHD, still working on the county with that, waiting on a contract with them to authorize it. And, of course, the big question is, when will we get the actual vials? Once the supply becomes more readily available, we're prepared. We have personnel that are trained, and we can support either a clinic of sorts at the Vets Hall or even a mobile vaccination team that could be sent out to individual homes where for shut-ins, for people that are not able to readily leave their home. So everything's basically poised and ready. We're waiting on the county to obtain sufficient vaccines for us to move forward with that. When that occurs, I have no idea. They're still telling me end of February, early March before they anticipate large volumes of vaccine coming in. But things seem to change week by week, so stand by to stand by on that. I gave you updated statistics in my report as far as the number of illnesses and deaths and so forth in our county compared to the rest of the region. We're actually, you know, we're doing quite well statistically, much better than other counties. The last count I have, and this is several days old now, of course, was we have 58% of our ICU beds are available in this county. So hospital-wise and everything else, we're in good shape from that standpoint. Obviously even 1% of your population getting sick is not a good thing, but in comparison to the southern counties, we're doing much better. The trust, we had some donations come in for our trust in December. Was there a question? Oh, I thought I heard somebody say something. We had three donations come in December. A $625 donation from Iggy, $105 from Michael Walsh, and $1,000 from Mr. And I apologize for the pronunciation, Kratochville. Just an interesting bit of trivia. He was our very first donor a year ago. So thank you for his annual donation.
Before I forget, I need to have a heads up as to when you need and how much you need transferred to the operating account to pay for the paint work and the decal work.
Yeah, we'll find, we don't have that dollar amount just yet. The paint man said that it was actually going to be less than what he quoted, so we're looking,
possibly be less.
Possibly, so we're looking for an updated invoice. We don't have that yet. We did transfer $15,000 back to the operating account from the trust to cover the purchase. And the purchase has been all completed thanks to Tim. All the paperwork and DMV and everything's been done. So it is ours. We do own it.
By the way, just for CC's edification, the reason I'm asking that question is that I'm the trustee, the single trustee of the trust. So that's why I need to know, and so that I can do the transferring. And you'd think it's just an easy process of writing a check or something, but it's not that.
It's a little bit more complicated.
Okay, thank you.
So we have almost $26,000 remaining in the trust account, as you can see. The financial reports, as we look into that, the tax revenue was good for December. It was actually 35% above over what we had budgeted, primarily due to a catch-up from a lag from November. So they're getting caught up. I will tell you that January, although we're not doing January's report yet, but January we've received some additional funds, so we're looking pretty good there, looking very good actually. Then there's some details there about our miscellaneous income. There was transfer funds from the trust that counts as miscellaneous income to the district because the trust is a separate entity. So you think, well, it's the same money, it's a different pool, but it's actually, the trust is like its own little place. And when we transfer funds from the trust, it counts as income. I'm learning a lot about bookkeeping and those kind of things. We did have uniform was over budget quite a bit, but that's because we purchased the ballistic safety gear that is been pledged to be reimbursed from Project Heartbeat. So as soon as we get that straightened out or you know, that money coming in from Project Heartbeat to reimburse us, that's going to balance out. Let's see. And of course, we had the over budget on unit replacement because we purchased an ambulance. So that makes sense. Let's see. Trying to see my glasses keep fogging. So I'm trying to figure out how to do a mask and glasses at the same time. The interesting bullet about halfway down to me was our call volume, we were 23% above last December. So call volume was up considerably in December over last December. However, the transports were 30% below. So call volume went up, transports went down. In speaking with some of the crew members and who have, you know, talked to these patients, there appears to be still some hesitation and fear of people to go to the hospital. They see things on the media about the ICUs are overfull, that the parking lots have waiting lines to get in the ER. Of course, we know that's Southern counties, LA, Riverside, whatever. So that's what's going on there. But the so consequently, our revenue was down from in budget and from last December. Let's see, monitoring calls we talked about already. There's calls in process, but we'll get funds from that. And then one of our goals was for Simone and I to sit down and go through the write-offs. We accomplished that at the end of December and got that all cleaned up and taken care of, and you can see the details there. As well as item four, my performance objectives, pretty self-explanatory, unless there's anybody has any questions. A lot of the stuff is things we're currently working on. Questions?
I have a question.
Tim has a...
Go ahead, Tim.
I just wanted to clarify... the ballistic gear, the reason why we haven't got funds back from Project Heartbeat is we've only received part of the gear. We haven't received the actual vest themselves. So upon receiving the vest is when we receive the finalized invoice that I can turn into Project Heartbeat.
Okay.
So there's not a lag on Project Heartbeat's time. It's the company that's sending us the vest.
Okay.
Tim, what is your best guess when you'll get the remainder of the gear?
We should have it by the end of the month, is what I was told.
I have a question on page 20, your second bullet, identify measurable standards for patient care quality on scene and in transit. Can you, Mike, can you share with the board at some point what those are?
We have a system in place where Tim does the QI on when the paramedic runs, does the call, writes his report, it goes electronically to Tim. He does a QI on it and assesses, you know, is it complete? Is there problems, issues, whatever? And he can actually refer that back to the paramedic if there's corrections to be made or whatever. And it's a metric that he can track and report on it. You know, if there's a trend or there's a problem with a particular employee's quality of their documentation. Tim and I have talked about doing expanding that a bit to explore patient satisfaction, which is in line with the strategic planning process. For example, one of the things we're discussing is a patient survey, patient care satisfaction survey that could be sent out to our patients after the fact and get feedback from them on, you know, how did they feel about the service that was rendered, you know, care and everything else.
Mike, what you're talking about has been in place for some time, QI of documentation. We're talking about QI of patient care quality on scene and in transit. So you're sending out a survey would move towards that goal, but I wouldn't say that your progress is complete.
I mentioned this at the last meeting also, that I think maybe a little misinterpretation. There are certain quality standards that are emerging from national organizations in the field of emergency medicine, and I thought that the intent of the strategic plan was to identify those quality measures that either made the most sense for us, were being tracked by county EMS, and I know they do collect some of these quality metrics, but to create some visibility around benchmark quality for the board and for the organization as a whole. So it was intended to be something quite different than a case review.
Okay, so Mike, could you put that into in progress, in process, and maybe report what you can find in the coming board meetings in terms of national standards and benchmarks?
Yes.
That might apply to our district.
Can I ask a question for Cecilia?
Sure.
When you're asking about this, are you talking about having like a supervisor on scene watching to make sure that the quality of care is given correctly?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, just patient feedback would be great. But you have to ask the right questions, and I think that's what Cecilia is getting at.
There are emerging standards on some of these things.
There are ones specific to EMS that I can draw on. So yeah, I made a note to do that. Thanks for the direction. It gives me an idea a little more, you know, bring my focus into gear here.
Okay.
I think that. I mentioned this at the last meeting as well, that on the bottom of page 19, I think there's some sort of translation error in the way that the employee satisfaction got merged with some of these other things. There's a big bullet that says develop, deploy, and implement a measurement tool for employee satisfaction, and then has all of these things that follow as sub-goals for that, which it is not. The item was all by itself, develop, deploy, implement measurement tool for employee satisfaction. And then these other things were other goals.
Yeah, and I think you need to flesh that out a bit, Mike.
Okay.
And I think, we'll talk about it later on, but 360 reviews of supervision is one of those things that can work in. So do you want to highlight anything financial?
Speaking of.
So, any other items? I mean, I'd like to point out that we are $42,000 plus better off December 2020 than we were in 2019. I think that's a marvelous accomplishment considering everything that we've managed to accomplish so far in terms of equipment acquisition, negotiating a new contract with the employees, and so on and so forth. So,
and you're,
I know that's going to take a dip here soon because we're going to have to start paying for some of the equipment that's been put on order. But
Bill had a comment.
You're highlighting year over year increase in cash.
Yes.
$42,000.
Right. Okay, any other questions, Mike? If not,
anyone
we'll
have
go. Oh, sorry.
I have just one quick question. Could you characterize when you worked through the old account? So we just did, you just fully wrote off $15,000 and then the $54,000, do we sell that to a collection firm, or what do?
We have a collection agency that we use, and so we transfer those accounts to them, and then they work them. And
but
if
we
they
don't
collect,
we don't factor. Cecilia wanted to know if we sold the accounts, and
so
no, we don't.
Oh, so, no,
so
we just transfer.
And per Bill's direction, we keep tracking it by leaving a dollar in the accounts receivable.
Yes.
Even though it's been transferred to collections.
Mm-hmm. That way we can track it.
Any other questions? Okay, moving on to committee reports. I'll give you a status. I've reached out to the CCSD and the CUSD regarding getting together to discuss items of mutual interest. And I've heard back from Cindy Steidel, and I heard back from Scott Smith, who's the superintendent of CUSD. And they would like to meet at some point, or they're not against any meeting. But we also reached out to John Weigold and Chief Hollingsworth, have not heard back from them. And as far as I'm concerned, there currently aren't any issues that I think would fall into this mutual interest category. But as soon as the county tells us, okay, CCHD, you're going to be administering COVID-19 vaccine, I think then we need to get together with the three local agencies and come up with an action plan that involves all the agencies. Like Mike earlier said, we'll probably give vaccinations at the vets hall. Well, we need CCSD's blessing to do that. Things like that. So that's all I have to report. Property and Facilities. Lori?
Yes, the committee met on January 12th. We're still trying to develop a priority list for upcoming capital equipment needs, as well as consideration for purchase of an, including purchase of another ambulance in the next year or two, and also looking at building needs as far as repair and renovation. And we want to achieve that so we can get that put into the strategic plan. So Mike and Tim will be working on that, and we're planning on meeting again once they get that list completed.
Okay. Any questions for Lori? Healthcare Advocacy and Outreach, Cecilia Montalvo.
The committee has not met this month.
Okay. Finance, Bill Wright.
The finance.
Sorry, spoke too slow. How do you get on that committee that Cecilia's on?
You are on it.
I just want to make sure. I'm on that committee, correct? Because I don't know when that meeting was, so that's fine.
They didn't meet this one.
They didn't meet this one. Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't miss a meeting because I didn't know.
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Finance, Bill.
We've spent a good portion of the month of January working on the mid-year budget review. We had hoped to have it ready to present to the board at this meeting. It proved a little bit more challenging to us because there were some open items that we didn't have full information about that would have allowed us to complete the mid-year review. We will be having a finance committee meeting before the next meeting in February, and our intent is to present at that time the mid-year budget review.
Okay. Any questions for Bill? Grants, Lori.
The Grants Committee met on January 13th, and we discussed the Assistance to Firefighters Grant Program, which issued a Notice of Funding Opportunity on January 4th. We will be submitting two applications to that funding program. They're both due no later than February 12th. The first one is just a resubmission of the grant we submitted last year to equip the ambulances with power loading cots and power cots and a loading system for all four ambulances. The second application will be requesting funding to purchase two new Type 3 ambulances to replace units 16 and 17.
Okay, and I have a question with regards to you resubmitting the grant proposal from last year. My understanding was that the individual in Washington that works for FEMA was going to mm-hmm. help give us some pointers on how to improve our chances of getting that approved. Have those been,
yes.
Well, first of all,
yes.
have you gotten that input? Go ahead.
We have. We did have a conference call with, I don't know Kevin's last name, but he's the person at FEMA, and then our regional representative, Sandy Tripp, who's up in the Bay Area. And they reviewed with us they gave us an overview of our our earlier application as far as scoring and areas where we could improve, and congratulated us on getting as far as we did for a first-time application. And so we were encouraged by that and told that we stood a good chance for funding this next go-around.
Okay.
So, so the grant has been revised based on that conversation, and Kevin, we've been offered the opportunity to submit the draft to Kevin and have him review it before it's for its final submission.
Okay, great. Any questions for Lori?
Just a comment. Just a comment on grant. There's also another grant in the works. The application is being worked on right now for what's called public assistance grant through FEMA. It's a separate FEMA grant, and that's specific to the COVID costs.
that is the district has incurred for everything from supplies to personnel. It's a long list. And they're working with me. I've got a really neat lady at FEMA, a different lady, that is walking me through the process step by step. So that's, and that could be a fairly large grant if all goes well. So a lot of moving parts there, a lot of things going on.
Okay.
I'll keep you posted. And Lori's, I'm keeping Lori in the loop, of course, as well. Absolutely.
All right, strategic planning, Cecilia?
Did not meet.
Okay. Moving on then to regular business. Standing and ad hoc committee assignments. You have that in your board packet. Anybody have any questions?
Do we need a motion to approve this?
Technically, you don't. It's just provided for information. Unfortunately, or actually fortunately for me, I guess, the bylaws...
President Bedrup.
Yes?
This is Jeff Minnery. I'm sorry. I'm just going to remind you that I can't see if there's public comment, public in attendance, but I'm just going to remind you to take public comment on the business.
Oh, item. Okay. Sorry. Good point. Is there any public comment with regards to the committee assignments? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. Like I said, the bylaws give the president of the board the authority to make the appointments, and I did so, and actually I made no changes from the December 4th package, with the exception of removing Mel McCullough, who said due to health reasons and other commitments, he could no longer participate in the Property and Facilities Committee. All right, moving on to agenda item 2. Social media policy update. Mike McDonough.
Yes, excuse me. Let me flip some pages here.
While you're flipping pages, is there a member of the public that would like to make a comment with regards to agenda item E2? Hearing none, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, we've been working on this for some time, as you're aware, trying to come together with our labor leadership on a social media policy. At this point, I'll turn this over to Bill Avery. He's got an update on this, and then we'll have discussion. Let me shift gears here. I'm going to share my screen so you can see apologize for extremely rough draft as far as, but it's there for you to purview or take a look at. Bill, you want to go ahead?
Sure, Mike. You look like with that mask, you're about ready to rob a bank. Do you understand that?
Oh.
Actually, we've been going back and forth with you forever. We've made a lot of progress. They actually gave us a counterproposal recently. We gave a proposal back to them. We've got actually a meeting scheduled for them. This is news to Mike for next Tuesday morning at 10 to finalize it. I think we're at the point where the board can adopt this as a final draft. And then if there's any substantive changes, we'll bring it back to you, but I kind of doubt it.
I'll scroll down a little bit. It's not very long. It just goes down. I know Bill's worked on this quite a bit, as has the labor representative and myself. We've had conversations also with Jeff Minnery. He may want to chime in with his legal advice on this this issue. excuse me, sorry. Jeff, do you have any comments on this?
At this point, I don't have any comments, frankly.
Oh, sorry.
No, I agree with Jeff.
Sorry.
It's a non-issue.
Right. I don't have any comments. I think your board has to get through this item, and if I will defer to Mr. Avery, who has been handling the negotiations. So without that, I would answer any specific questions, but I have no specific comments.
Well, all right. Well, I have a question. It seems as though what the union wants to do is allow images to be taken on personal equipment. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's fair. In most cases, that's fine. And almost everything they've done and posted has been fine. The one thing we're telling them is if there's an acute response going on, you cannot use your personal equipment. So we're going to get there.
You know, this is a little hard for me to follow because there wasn't anything in the packet to look at. And so I'm very unclear about what changes we've made since the board.
We haven't made any changes, but not board approved changes. What Bill is attempting to do here is reach a compromise solution, which apparently allows employees to take images on their cell phones as long as there's not an emergency that requires their attention to be attended to, and then they share their image with the district. Then does the district have any say about what they post on the union website?
You know, probably not so much. There's this pesky First Amendment. But so far they've done nothing which is really problematic, and they've agreed to things which say they can't produce anything which identifies people or license plates or places of business or houses or anything else. So it's, in my mind, it's become largely a psychological, not a real issue at this point.
So this
so
is Lori.
Tuesday, I think we'll
maybe, maybe for others. I mean, for some of us, it's actually been a very important issue.
It has. This is Lori. And, I can't see exactly what's being put up on the screen. And I just really worry that do they appreciate that they did cross the line previously? In earlier posts,
they agreed to a bunch of language which says they can't do anything which crosses the line. So I think
I want to know, do they appreciate that they have crossed the line in the past?
I think that's a good question. They understand about HIPAA. I will say that. They know about HIPAA violations and that they can't do a HIPAA violation. I hesitate to say too much because I'm speaking for them, and that's always a little tenuous. But the impression I get in speaking with them is that the pictures they take on certain types of scenes or trainings or whatever is harmless to the district, that they see it as just a positive thing. It's good public relations type stuff. It showcases what they do. They're proud of their work, that kind of thing. And again, I'm not speaking personally. I'm saying this is what they're reflecting to me, and that they would not want to do anything that could harm the district. That's obviously not their desire. So they're looking, but they, at the same time, they don't like the idea that if they were told you can't take pictures ever, they think that that's restrictive and prohibits them from exercising their rights or their desires. So, Bill has been working very hard on this to try to find some kind of middle ground that will satisfy the district's desires as well as the employees' desires. And also working with Jeff Minnery as well to keep us out of potential legal gray area, if you will, or harm, because there are potential consequences depending on what the board acts on or how the board acts on this. So Bill's been very cautious and very careful to try to take care of our needs as well as make the employee group, the labor group, comfortable with what we're doing. And it's been challenging, but I think he assures me he's very close.
Yeah.
So
okay, well,
anyway, that's
I think my concern is that I see in comments in red here about what somebody would be okay with or not be okay. I just don't know until I have seen the new carefully worked out agreement. I can't, as a board member, say that I support what's been negotiated.
Right. And we can't do it as yet because there is no final version available for board approval, unfortunately.
And I know I've asked the board to be patient in the on this issue, and we would like to move forward, but as Bill seems to feel that we're getting very close, if we could have just a little more time, we might be able to bring something to you that you can vote on or agree to. Is that correct, Bill? Is that a good assessment?
That's correct. We meet next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m.
So you'll come to an agreement with the union subject to approval by the board. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. That's correct.
Yeah.
One thing I would like to point out, there was a picture taken some months back of a car that had run off the road on San Simeon Creek Road. The car could be identified, although the license plate wasn't showing. That has to be used as an example of what's not acceptable. The more recent pictures that I've seen of, for example, a house burning and a white Toyota Camry, I think it was overturned, if I remember correctly, on Highway 1. I think those are, as far as I'm concerned, those are okay. I don't know what other board members might think of those, but I think those are okay because you can't identify, any human being associated with those. Now, to be fair, when the fire picture was posted, then a community member indicated what street that fire was on. But
that's outside of our HIPAA, HIPAA addresses insurance and for private insurance information, the patient's private insurance information, like their date of birth, their address, those kind of things. And it doesn't cross into that realm.
It does, Mike. It does. So
it does.
It's not an insurance. It is very much about anything that would allow identification and convey any information about the person in the context of delivering care.
I'm
just forewarning because I care very much about this. I feel of course it's HIPAA. That's the law. Like at a minimum, we're not negotiating over whether or not we violate HIPAA. But I think in addition to that, from my perspective as a board member, that I'm uncomfortable with the idea that we're not the media, we're not the newspaper, we're not there to photograph and disseminate events as they occur. And quite frankly, I think it can come across a little bit as boastful of somebody else's misfortune. Somebody else's misfortune. I don't understand why everybody likes a pat on the back, and I absolutely value our employees, but I don't think that we should some of this, I'm saying this for you, Bill, is because this is not about HIPAA. We wouldn't need a multi-page agreement. We would just say follow the law and we would be done. The board's concern was broader than that.
Now, I understand that. But if 3,000 people in Cambria can drive by a public setting and see the same thing, it's a little bit difficult to tell employees they're not allowed to do that. But they've already...
Well, I'm
going to
go back to our employees have a certain
standard. Faces or licenses.
Hang on, Lori. Please let Bill finish.
And they've already agreed that there's...
I find this... Yes, 3,000 people can drive by. They're not our employees. They are not EMS personnel. They have not signed an agreement that they would adhere to HIPAA. And there is a standard that we expect our employees to adhere to. I was a healthcare employee. I adhered to it. I understood it. And I would never have thought to take pictures of anything that would violate somebody's privacy or somebody's, you know, misfortune. And I think that this, I don't support the way this negotiation is currently going. I just don't.
Well, they've already agreed to major restrictions on that, and I think we'll come back with something that you'll be happy with.
I hope so.
We will.
I think it's good to have this discussion because I also know the paramedics and how they're out there, and so I don't think it's a violation. I think that it's good to have this discussion so that we're more clear about what's expected and what we know, and everyone follows HIPAA regulations regardless. So if it needs to be cleaned up, fine, but I understand what the social media, what you're trying to do. So I appreciate your efforts because I think it's really important, and I think it'll do well. I think it needs to be done though, and I appreciate that you're coming with these issues forward.
We'll get there.
So
we'll get there.
Yeah, I know you will. Thank you. I know.
Okay, well, I asked for public comment before our discussion. Is there any public comment following our discussion? Okay, we will put this on the agenda for next month. Moving on then to agenda item E3, soliciting proposals for primary care services. Cecilia, you want to take that?
Yeah. In your board packet is Walter?
I'm here.
On the line?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Walter.
Let me start by introducing Walter Kopp. I think many of you know about
Mike, could you allow us to have a full gallery view so we can
see
Walter?
Yep.
Hey, everybody.
Walter has worked in the area of medical group management, medical clinic development, and this kind of advisory work for as long as I've known him, which I would venture to say it's about 35 years almost right now. So he is now on board, and I think, as you know, the scope of his work is to help us understand what it would look like if the district were to attempt to directly operate primary care. And then he's also assisting us in looking at any responses, the RFP and any responses that we get to try and advise the board on maybe what some of its options would be. So, I wanted to, if it's okay, just turn it over to Walter before we get into the meat of it, just to introduce himself and reflect on where we are.
Great. Thank you, Cecilia, and I'm glad I could join you guys. I'm just sorry I can't come to Cambria, but hopefully that'll happen soon. I appreciate the opportunity to help you with this. Just a brief history. I've worked with a lot of different districts on developing projects like this, and I understand that it can be a very positive experience in terms of improving access and securing a stable relationship with a system that will then provide access to care for you. I've helped with the review of the RFP that's going to go out, and I think your process is good. I'm going to be working with Cecilia and others to comment on your budget and what might happen with that. And we'll be looking at, you know, the buy versus make decision. I think bottom line, what I'd like you to think about is there is, I think, an opportunity with the other bidders. And the reason we're going through this process is to give them all a chance to see other people bidding at this and competitively bid toward getting this. And what they're bidding for is the right to lose money. And just what that means is they are primary care, the way it is structured, is a loss leader. And most systems currently subsidize their primary care physicians in some manner. And many hospitals do it, health systems do it, Kaiser does it, Sutter Health does it, Dignity, all of them. and they subsidize the primary care. You don't have an infrastructure that allows you to do that because you don't operate a hospital and you can't make money off of surgeries and so forth. But you can affiliate with a system that will benefit from this, and they can legally operate a clinic and lose money on it and have it be a loss leader for them, with the understanding and hope that they can steer some of the referrals toward their system. So that's the negotiation you're headed into. And we're trying to get some interest by these various players in competitively bidding for this and bidding for the right to operate the clinic. We will look at an option of you doing it alone, but we assume that since you don't have any subsidy arrangement or you don't have any other way of making up the loss, that you will lose money on this clinic, and that trying to get a bidder to bid on this would be in your best interest. So that's, in a nutshell, what we're trying to do. And I welcome any questions about the process and be glad to go into any level of detail you would like. Cecilia, what else would you like me to comment on?
No, that was good. I wanted them to be able to hear from you. And one thing I would like to highlight in the final draft of the RFP, well, two things I want to highlight to you. Ever so slightly revised timetable from the draft that you've seen previously. I just want to make sure, as busy as people are, that there's time to respond. So the submissions to the RFP, assuming it went out right away, are due March 12th.
And that's what you have in our board packet.
That's correct. It's just that it was something else in prior versions, and it was earlier. But since our meeting is a little late this month, that seems to make sense.
And I believe the agenda item, Cecilia, is for them to approve the submission or review of the release of this RFP. Is that correct?
I'm sorry?
My understanding is that the agenda item is for a motion for them to approve the release
I will ask for that in just a minute, Walter, because I was going to highlight one other thing.
Okay.
It's just the distribution list Walter was able to help us identify UCSF as a potential respondent, which is terrific. And we have listed all the organizations that we have reason to believe want to receive the RFP. And then I think per whatever is standard protocol, we would try and place some media advertising indicating that this RFP is out there. But the list now includes Dignity, Community Health Centers of the Central Coast, Cottage Health System, Community Hospital of the Monterey Peninsula, UCSF, the operator of the urgent cares in Morro Bay and Hanford, a private company called One Medical, and an urgent care provider out of Tulare. So with that, any questions, comments, because Walter is correct, what the action we're looking for today is to approve the release of the RFP.
Okay. Earlier, Cece said she had something to say about this item.
Yeah, I have some questions. First of all, we're trying to put another clinic in Cambria, which I by the way, I'm seeing a lot of Dr. Lewis's patients. I'd like to know what happened with that clinic. How many patients was she seeing? What happened? We're trying to start another clinic when I still don't know what happened to the last clinic. I do work at community health centers, and if we had the space, I could bring my physician up here a lot more hours, but we're very limited. We're very limited on space and rooms, and this is a pandemic. So I just have a question. What's the rush to do another RFP when we're in a pandemic, number one? Number two, I still don't know why the other clinic was not successful, and were they seeing patients? Because that was not, I hear a lot of things, so I don't know. And number three is, why aren't we working to expand CHC and get me a better place? And that's my own personal comment, because we're seeing about 800 patients a day, and we could see more patients, but we do not have the rooms or the place to go. Because
I think you mean 800 patients a month, not a day.
A month. You're right.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, a month. So I'm questioning why are we starting another clinic when the other clinic
okay.
has FCPP.
Time out.
So we have
answers. Cecilia,
yes.
Do you want to field those questions?
Sure. And Cece, I know you're busy. But the RFP actually went through some of that history.
Yeah.
In the document,
right.
And I think, as you know, that the last clinic, which was operated by the Tenet Medical Group, was not a district. While members of the district, as I understand it, district board at that time, helped by arranging meetings and encouraged and cajoled or whatever, there was no formal relationship between the district and Tenet as the operator of that clinic. They did it independently of the district. They received no support from the district. And when they were losing providers over on the other side of the hill, which they have, they actually had our clinic in Atascadero with no physician oversight at all, that they moved her. At first, they moved her over there and then sent letters to Cambria residents indicating that they would need to travel over the hill to go see her. And then subsequently, she left the practice, so she's not in practice at all anymore. We have been hearing very consistently, I personally, every time I talk to neighbors, et cetera, people are asking me about this. There is, I think, a proven interest in the community to have additional primary care providers. Seem to love what we have, but a sense that we need more here. And as far as the timeliness, it's going to take a long time to get this going, and we are not going to finish until we start. But recruiting an operator for a primary care clinic and having them recruit and be ready to operate in Cambria, if we start right now, I think we're looking at, the end of 2022 before I see anything
so
happen.
Why aren't we... my doctor is here, ready to come, but he has no space.
I have to be very careful, and I think we all need to be very careful about,
right.
This is a public organization, and we have to have an open and fair process. We can't bias one organization or another as much as, we love to collaborate, et cetera. I do think that it's the responsibility of a public organization to look at proposals from all bidders.
Let me address a couple of points that Cece raised that you didn't address, Cecilia.
Okay.
First of all, that clinic operated by First California Physicians Partners attracted 800 patients total, not 800 patients per month, but 800 patients total. I offered in the early days of the clinic to have board members assist in getting the word out. I suggested that to the provider. The provider passed it on to Tenet. Tenet said, we don't need your help, so back off. And so I did. Basically, they failed because they failed to attract sufficient patient base to be able to sustain the clinic. Now, that space is vacant. CHC is on the list of companies that will receive this RFP. If CHC chooses to bid on the job and is successful and wants to occupy the building that was occupied by Tenet and CHC can come to terms with John Lynn of Linvestments, we have absolutely no problem with that happening. However, as Cecilia quite rightly pointed out, we are a public agency. And we will and cannot favor one provider over another. Just as in the last process, both Dignity Health and Tenet entertained moving a clinic into Cambria. Tenet decided to do it. Dignity said, nope, we need, I forget the dollar amount, but it was something north of $300,000, which of course, money we did not have. Now, in this process, we are asking bidders, if you would read the RFP, you would see that we're asking bidders whether or not they need help, and they can identify the help they need. If they were to need financial help, as Cecilia pointed out, nothing can happen until the end of 2022. If they, in fact, needed financial help, probably nothing could happen until 2023, because we would have to put a ballot measure on the 2022 ballot and ask the community to come up with funding that would be required. So anyway, that's the background.
I would just like to say that at the working here in the community in Cambria, a lot of people can't afford what they're already at. And so adding that to a ballot, I don't know how successful that will be, number one. And number two, we are still, I invested here in this community, so I will continue working here. And so I really take someone that is really wants to be part of Cambria to really provide those services. So I think that connection with Cambria and with our community is what makes our community successful. So I think that's a huge disadvantage that other places do not have with us, because we are committed here and we are not leaving. We continue to provide services for those who are homeless or uninsured. And I think that there's so many things on our plate right now with the pandemic, the homeless and patients in Cambria, patients who are underserved, food insecurities. There's so many other projects that we could focus on as a healthcare district, and this should be put in the back burner. That's what I think. That's my opinion. Right now, with a huge homeless encampment that has just removed, we have a huge issue with food insecurities, people losing their jobs. Our COVID cases are climbing. We as healthcare professionals are working as much as we can to provide services for everyone in our community. So I think there's so many other projects and issues in Cambria that this is not something that we should be doing right now. We should be focusing on what's current right now. That's my opinion.
Okay.
I would like to say that we are focusing on those very concerning issues with the Community Leaders Forum, dealing with food insecurity. We will be, we are doing what we can, but we can't ignore the fact that we will get through this pandemic. And Dr. Lewis had 800 patients, but she was only there a year and she was still adding patients to that practice. So I don't think that while you do an admirable job and really have dedicated yourself to the community, we have a community that has needs that go beyond what you can provide. And,
Let me finish.
I listened. Please let me finish. So, I think that I appreciate the fact that you probably need more space, but it seems to me that the healthcare district can only help advocate, but they cannot take care of that problem for CHC. That comes from your organization and whether or not they want, to help you expand. And we would welcome it. So I think we need to be careful in realizing that we are a public agency and that we're advocating for the entire community.
So as a role of community health centers, you're providing, so this is my understanding from just all the questions that I got about the healthcare district and running for the board. So this is your job to try to find a facility or get more primary care sites for this community. Is that what part of your role is?
We're trying to find more access for care. We're trying to find access. We did not provide the care ourselves.
Right. So that's my understanding that that's your role. My understanding of the role from the healthcare district, since I've been here almost 10 years, is that I worked on emergency medical services. That's my understanding. That was your role as a healthcare district. I interviewed many years ago, and that's what I understood. And then now coming now here in 2021, you're telling me that you're now providing, trying to do services to try to provide a primary care site in Cambria. So I was just trying to...
Cece, I'd like to... Time out. I'd like to interrupt here because you're operating under some misinformation. Since the district was set up in 1947, our role really hasn't changed. Our role was always to bring healthcare resources to the district. The reason we got our first doctor here, the reason we got our first dentist here, was as a result of efforts by the Cambria Community Healthcare District. So this is nothing new. It may be new to you, but it's nothing new.
Okay, that's what I wanted clarification on, so I wanted to understand it, because that's what I understood before, so I'm trying to figure out what the role really is for the healthcare district.
Well, if you looked at the board packet and you looked at the information that we're going to ask the board to approve in terms of our strategic goals, you would see what our role is. It's right there in white on green, I think it is. Okay?
Right.
So if you read your entire board packet, a lot of your questions would be answered.
Yes, I saw that. I just want to make sure it's clarified, and I just want to hear it from you. That's why I'm asking.
Well, there's a better way to do that, I'm sorry to say, but pick up the phone and call me.
Pick up the phone and what? Sorry?
Call me.
Call what?
And we can have a long chat. And I can bring you up to date on various subjects.
In on the history. And
okay.
He's very approachable.
I prefer that it be between the hours of 9 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock at night, not outside that.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe returning to the topic at hand, I would, and it's probably not my place, maybe it's Iggy, your job, but if there is a motion made, perhaps this is the time.
Cecilia, would you be entertaining maybe some additional names where you could send this to?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You have one in mind? We did have a couple of Southern California organizations that said no. So who were you thinking?
The Samsung people in Santa Barbara.
Oh, that is a very good catch. That is a very good catch. Sorry.
Thank you.
All around Cottage, and I forgot about Samson. Okay, and I'll send it to Kurt, because I think he is still there. Okay, anybody else come to mind?
Okay, well, we would entertain a motion to approve the RFP as currently drafted.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Lori seconded. Any further discussion? Any public comment?
I do have a public comment, if I may. This is Christy Jenkins, and I believe that Mr. Walter was talking about the fact that this endeavor is looking at something that is potentially setting up a lost, what I call a lost leader, that it's very, very difficult in today's healthcare environment with an independent clinic to come out and make money. That's very hard. That was one of the difficulties, and with what happened with Tenet, I was on the board when the negotiations were going on with Tenet and with Dignity, and part of the reason that they were not able to make it, Tenet was not able to make it with their location here in Cambria, was, again, they had a good patient base. It was Medicare. And Medicare reimbursement is very, very poor. And so financially, they were not able to make it. And anybody that's coming in here to look at their RFP, and I think the RFP is very well put together, will be looking at the patient base the mixture, seeing what the availability is of the people to be able to pay. Because if you have to if you have to accept assignment for Medicare with a huge Medicare base, it's very, very difficult to make money. So
I absolutely agree with you, Christy, and I think it will be one of the challenges this year that this is a heavier Medicare load than the average community. And, you know, it's a lot of the larger operators that might be interested in primary care, you know, they do it to capture the larger patient base, but this it is a heavy Medicare payer mix here.
Hey, any other comments by the public? Okay, hearing none. Is there any further discussion by the board members? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Simone, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Biggie Fedorov?
Yes.
Bill Wright?
Yes.
Lori Millior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lomelli?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Then moving on to agenda item E4, a quarterly review of
Do you need me anymore?
No, thank you so much for joining.
Not for this meeting.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so then we are talking about the quarterly review of objectives established in the CCHD strategic plan. Now, there's two pieces to this. There's the strategic plan tracking document, but first there's the strategic plan communication piece, which we're asking the board to vote on whether it's appropriate to issue as written. So either Cecilia or Mike, which one of you would like to take this on?
You want to do this in two pieces? Why don't we address the communication piece first?
Great.
We had drafted something right after we finalized the strategic plan. Very, very important that if you're going to have a strategic plan, to make sure that you are speaking with the employees and with the community about that plan and what goals they're trying to accomplish. So we had this little piece drawn up. We held on to it. I think some other mailings were being done at the time, at the end of the year, and there were fundraising going on, so we just held off over the holidays. But I think it has a nice message from Iggy around the work we've done during this difficult time. But it also, in that green bar, has our three major areas of focus, and I like it.
And I want to give writing credit to Cecilia. I didn't write this. But she did a very excellent job, I think.
But you willingly signed your name.
Well, of course. Well, I changed my title, of course, from chairman of the board. We'll leave that to Frank Sinatra.
Okay. Do you want us to vote on sending this to you?
Yes, I do. Or if anybody has any comments, additions or deletions before that. And also I would take any public comment.
Talk a little bit about the distribution of this. How would this be disseminated?
Yeah. I envision doing a press release. I've already sent out a feeler to cambriaca.org, and they're more than happy to accommodate this from as long as the board approves it. I don't know if they'll be able to utilize the document as is. I hope they do because I think it's very attractive. Mike, you can tell the board who all else will receive it. Obviously the employees will receive it, but what news outlets would receive it?
Yeah, this is going to be a very extremely useful tool, and I appreciate all the work that's been put into it by Cecilia and others. It's reflective of all those things that Lori was alluding to a minute ago. You know, we've got multiple faceted projects going on to help the health overall healthcare of the community, and I get requests from various news agencies, and this is going to really be a perfect tool. Not only will we put it out, like you said, the Cambria CA online newsletter, but also there's other media outlets that I have in my file for general press release, as well as on our webpage. So we'll push this out to the community so that they can see what we're doing.
Share who those outlets are.
I've got contacts now with the Times, the Tribune in San Luis Obispo, the Morro Bay Estero Times, which does come up all the way to San Simeon, the Cambrian local newspaper, as well as the New Times, which is another local newspaper. So I've got contacts in my file for all of them to send press releases to.
Is there any consideration in doing this as a mailing to all of our residents?
Not a bad idea. What about including it with the water?
Aside from the cost.
We still have Jeff, right?
I think so.
Jeff Minery?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. So I just went through the ethics training, and there was something in there regarding sending out mailings that involve a board member. And so, for example, this thing has my name on it as president of the CCHD Board of Directors. Would this be in any way a violation of prohibitions on mailings?
Absolutely not. You can send this to any. Yes, absolutely not. But thank you.
All right.
I would just like to caution the board that there's no funds in the current budget to incur mailing costs for this to the district.
All right. Well, I have a suggestion. Maybe I could get a hold of, or maybe Mike could get a hold of John Wigand, or I could certainly get a hold of Cindy Stidell and see if the CCSD in their next mailing, which would be like a month and a half from now, would be willing to include this as a flyer.
And you could contact San Simeon's SD as well, if they helped out in the past.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mike, do you want to get hold of
this? Whether it's this or some form of this, they are internal audience, and so just to make sure that it's shared with employees, that at your next employee forum, that it be a topic discussion. I think very important for them to be engaged with us.
If you
bring it up at your next employee meeting, which I've suggested that you video, maybe you can show it on the screen.
Yes. And that reminds me of we had a conversation, Cecilia and I were talking about strategic plans, planning and so forth, and we happened to have a conversation with a couple of the employees the other day, and we were talking about improving communications between the employees and the board members, and I thought that an excellent suggestion was made that when we have these I've started monthly meetings with the employees, kind of a round table forum kind of a thing, and the idea that they suggested was, or maybe Cecilia suggested, I don't remember, but was that each month when we have those meetings, we invite one board member to that meeting just to answer questions, solicit ideas, share ideas, whatever. And because it's just one board member, it's not any kind of Brown Act violation or anything of that nature. So I think that that would be excellent. And then each month we'd have a different board member who has a different area of expertise. So for example, when, you know, Bill is, if he comes to one of their meetings virtually, because they're all on Zoom now, they might ask about finance questions or give input. They may have ideas about finance, whatever. But I think that would tie in to that. And it kind of loops back to our employee satisfaction part of this thing. So it really, I think that's a really good idea. So we'll, and this piece could be the launch of that, you know, put that out there and say, here we go, and see how the employees respond. But I think they're going to respond very positively. They are looking to improve the relationship with the board. And Cecilia assured them that so is the board. So
okay, so do we have a motion to approve this piece?
So moved.
Okay, Bill Rice moved.
Second.
Lori seconded. Okay, any other public comment or board discussion? Hearing none.
So it won't cost.
Oh, there's a question.
So it's not going to cost us to mail it. Just the cost will be the paperwork. Is that correct? So the
right.
mail will go into the. Okay.
Well, we'll either, if we do mail it, we'll try to work something out with the Cambria Community Services District to do it without charge to us. We'll provide them the paper and they'll stuff the envelopes. Maybe we'll have to send somebody to help stuff envelopes. Well, Harry is here.
Harry's here.
Would you advocate for that, Mr. Farmer?
Thank you. Actually, I got distracted. No, I've been attending the entire meeting. I just don't like my face on the screen because it's you folks that are being discussing. But I just, like I said, I got distracted with a text I had to answer. Could you give me some clarification on what you were just discussing with regard to board the various board members attending your meetings?
Well, there's a monthly meeting that Mike has started holding with the employees, and because, as he so aptly put it, trying to get all 30 employees together would be like herding cats, simply yeah. because they have other jobs, or they want to sleep because they work at night, or whatever, then I suggested that he video these employee discussions. And then the suggestion I think Cecilia made was to have one board member in on that Zoom call with the employees each month.
I would imagine that speaking for myself, since I'm attending this meeting, and I have to be honest, for what it's worth, I really appreciate everything that you folks discuss. I mean, today has especially been, you know, addressing some very timely issues. But I would be personally more than willing to attend your monthly meetings with the employees to give them feedback. I can't speak for the rest of the board members, but I certainly would appreciate the opportunity to do so.
Well, Mike, you can put that in the hopper.
Got it.
Okay. Mike just gave a thumbs up.
Thank you.
Right. And then all we would be looking to CCSD support here would be to provide this handout and have it included with a water bill and not charge the district anything. So, but we'll take that up with John Weigand John Weigold and Cindy Skydell.
Right.
Any other public comment? Okay, so we've had a motion to approve the communications piece, and it's been seconded. Simone, would you take a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Iggy Fedorov?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Millior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lomeli?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So now moving into part two, the strategic plan. One thing I would like to point out, I had circled on mine about the quality metrics to be developed by December, and I think there was a misunderstanding on the quality metrics, as we learned earlier in our board meeting. Mm-hmm. So we need to work on that and make sure that's done as soon as possible, I guess.
Yeah, I have it in my notes.
Okay. Cecilia, I think you expect Mike to take over this part of the discussion.
Yes. Just kind of let's go through, and I don't think we need to go through every one of them. I think part of having a quarterly review on our progress for our objectives is to call out things that maybe we are having trouble with or that need resources that we're not aware of. So I would maybe just call out things both that are going well and maybe not so well. But Mike?
Okay. Yeah, because as you can see in the strategic plan document, it's broken into sections of all the different focal points of the district. In emergency services, Tim and I have met and gone over these, and we've started putting together a list of ideas. We shared with Cecilia, tools to achieve these goals. And so I think we're well on our way to getting that on track. Some of this stuff is already in place, but we need to provide a better mechanism to communicate it to the board so that the board's aware. You know, there's a lot of things that Tim and I and Simone, everybody does day to day to this end. But if we don't bring you the board into the loop, you're not aware of what's going on. And so we're going to work on improving some of those communications flows. I'm trying to see, sorry, print's a little small for my bifocals here. We talked about, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into per se with my conversations with Tim, but we have gone over each of these items and, we're working on, like I said, ways to achieve these. As it goes beyond that into access to care, wellness promotion, and so forth, those are broken up into, those are identified by the various committees, the outreach committee and so forth that are tasked with those. I kind of am looking for a little direction as far as what questions might you have about, now that you've looked this over, what might you suggest or have questions for me?
Well, I had that one where there was a misunderstanding on the quality metrics.
Right.
So hopefully you'll fix that.
I've got that in my head.
I have a question for the group. See your group memory. So under access to care, I think the primary care thing we're tracking pretty well, but that second one where it says update the community needs assessment in partnership with the county. Lori, can you remind me what this is? Is this an annual process for the county? I mean, most counties do community needs assessments. Is that what that is?
I mean, they had done a community needs survey, and I want to say it was completed in 2018. And I don't know when they plan to do the next one. And so pretty much what I developed came off of that community needs survey. What their objectives came, the objectives they developed based on their survey. Yeah. So, right now it's a little bit, as far as wellness, I think everybody's focused on COVID and getting people vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we really can't, we can't do the community education for sure until we can have group meetings again.
Yeah. Well, and what we have done, the county is offering, the health promotions people are offering some Zoom, online Zoom seminars or workshops and such. And so we have put a link to that on our website. And I know that for all of the individuals who attended the fall prevention programs that we had, they got on an email list, and I know that she's been sending them out newsletters as well. So at this point, that's the best we can hope for.
Okay. Any public comment on our strategic plan?
Iggy, one more question.
Oh, sorry.
I just have another question. In the finance category, there's this thing about our philanthropic capabilities. Is there a board person on point now for the trust? I mean, I realize you have an officer role with the trust. So does that mean strategically you're going to take the lead on these stress? Okay, your name's there. In summary, your name's there.
There you go.
Don't take TBD anymore.
I go look for donations.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate to get the donation for the ambulance. Then I turned around and thought, oh well, anything Iggy asked for, he gets, right? So then I asked for several tens of grand for the food initiative by the Lions Club. And suddenly, I ran into a buzzsaw.
Really?
So, yeah, I did.
I was wondering that, Iggy, because, you know, I had made a year-end donation to the council thinking that they were going to fund the food drive, but you're separately, which...
They haven't denied us yet, but the buzzsaw that I ran into was all of a sudden... Instead of saying, yes, how can we help you? We'd love to help you. It was, where do we get the most bang for the buck? It wasn't an unreasonable request. It just surprised me.
Yeah.
And so they're contributing not only to the Lions Food Program, but also to the Rotary Program. And they see the Rotary Program as being 100% of their money goes to the needy needy family.
Grocery bags, right? They're giving out groceries.
Well, no, the Rotary actually is giving out gift certificates to Cookie Crock that can be redeemed for anything that the Cookie Crock sells except for tobacco and alcoholic beverages. So I think it's a good idea that they have the ability to do that. Simply because families need things other than food that those certificates help them buy. Then there's also the food bank, and there's food distribution by, say, Vineyard and Catholic Church and so on. So anyway, so last time I had requested $30,000, and they gave us $16,000 and said, if you need more, come back. But then we ended the program June 30th because the restaurants had hired back their employees, the hotels had hired back their employees, and the need wasn't there anymore. Well, suddenly the need's back, and pretty much with a vengeance. And so we're starting the program. Right now, I gave a report earlier to some of the Lions Club board members, but we have about 7.5 weeks of funding right now in our expense account, so we can feed these 80 or so families one prepared meal a week for about 7.5 weeks, but then we run out of money. So in 2 days, the Cambria Community Council board will meet, and they will vote whether or not to approve our request in whole or in part. And to the extent they approve it, let's say they approve $15,000. Well, then the Lions Club has agreed to match it another $15,000. So that $15,000 will turn into $30,000. any donations after the 4th of January, up to $30,000 in donations, will be matched by the Lions Club, and the Lions Club has agreed to revisit that subject at the end of February. So that's the situation.
Keep those checks coming in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess there's no action required by the board on the strategic plan update. It was just for information. Okay, moving on to agenda item E5, mid-year budget review. Mike McDonough.
Yes.
Move to next question.
Yes, and we, Bill and I have been working on this quite a bit, and we would like to defer this to the February agenda. We've still got some things that we're working on, and we're not quite ready to present that to the board unless there's any questions or comments by Bill.
Any board member object to that or would like to comment further? Any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item E6. Lori.
Okay, so this is a request for board approval to provide matching funds of 5% for up to $20,000 should we be successful in receiving both of the, should we be funded for both of the assistance to firefighter grants that we are submitting. It's estimated that the total granting amount that we're asking for is about $375,000, and 5% of that is, what, $18,500 or so. So just asking, making the board aware that should we be successful, there's a 5% matching obligation, and asking for board approval to cover those costs.
I'd like to add to that explanation that this 5% commitment, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we actually had to fund the 5%, because it would mean that the grants were approved and we're going to get the ambulances and other types of equipment. But this 5% is, because of the timing, is not a current fiscal year budget issue. It will be next year's budget issue.
Correct.
So correct. What we're asking, I think, or what Lori is asking, is for approval in the concept by the board.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the next.
Is there any public comment on this matter?
Well, the fiscal year, July 1st.
Any public comment? Hearing none, is there any further board comment? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, Simone, would you take roll call vote, please?
Yes. Iggy Federoff?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Lori Millior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Cecilia Lomelli?
Yes.
Okay, so that was the last regular business items, but business item, I should say. I would like to now open it up to the board members to declare any future agenda items. So far, I've heard that we're going to talk about the finances mid-year.
Correct.
And we also will have the social media policy.
the eternal agenda item.
Yes.
I think have a placeholder for a discussion of the formation of a special committee to review primary care RFP responses.
Okay, now That reminds me that we may need to hold a separate board meeting. We have compiled, or not we, I had nothing to do with it, a set of statistics spanning 10 years has been compiled regarding ambulance usage. Mike, you want to talk about that? And I don't know if we want to have it as an agenda item for our next regular meeting or have a special meeting devoted entirely to this subject. So, Mike, do you want to explain?
I think a regular meeting?
But I think we should, it should be on next month's agenda. I think we need a little more time.
Okay. I think we're looking at probably, we were just having a little conference with Tim. Probably March at the regular meeting, we'll be ready to bring that support. A group of ambulance or statistics on the ambulance calls, those kind of things. So, we have a lot of data and stuff that we're compiling going back about 10 years.
Okay.
But I think at the March regular meeting, that would be, we'll be ready to go.
I would like to offer some help in the presentation of your statistical data.
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay.
Glad to have it. Yeah.
Okay, and then for the February meeting, I would like a closed session to do a half-year review of Mike's performance, and it has been suggested that it be a 360-degree review that would involve employee commentary back to me. In other words, Mike would request it, and then an employee portal would be set up where they could communicate in an anonymous fashion, and it would come to me. Kind of like when we did Mike's annual appraisal, all the inputs went to Jeff Minnery, the data was compiled and then fed back to the board. I don't think we need to involve Jeff and his paralegal for this. I think we can just have it come directly to me and then I will decide what needs to be done about it. Do you agree, Jeff?
I do. There's no reason to involve me.
Okay. So that would be a closed session item. And so initially we would have, I will come down to the meeting room that Mike and Cecilia and Tim and Simone are in right now, and we will handle it. Closed session for us, and then we'll invite Mike in. Any other future agenda items at this point?
Peggy, can I?
Harry?
Yeah, excuse me. This isn't a future agenda item, but I want some clarification from Tim, a comment he made in his operations report talking about the mobile visits to the homebound folks who want a vaccine. When is that going to be initiated?
I think Mike addressed that. And once the county sets us in motion to provide vaccines, that will be part of that service that we will recommend to the county, and it'll be up to the county public health people to approve that.
So at this point, we don't know. It depends. We don't know when that's going to occur.
Okay. Our next regular meeting of the board of directors will be held February 16th at 5:30 p.m. online, unless I hear an objection.
February 16th?
February 16th.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a
good
evening.
Night.
Evening.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the social media thing is really good.